Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Alleged mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, is headed to federal court in New York to bring him and five others out of Guantanamo and into the U.S. civilian justice system, just blocks from where the World Trade Center towers came down, is a fateful step by the Obama Justice Department and a huge test for the American judicial system. This hour, On Point, the trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York and its challenges. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder made the announcement that the trial would come last Friday. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and co-defendants, they would be tried, he said, in New York City.
Those allegedly responsible for the attacks of September the 11th will finally face justice. They will be brought to New York, to answer for their alleged crimes in a courthouse just blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood.
Almost in the one-time shadow of those towers, joining me first today from Washington is Evan Perez, who's been following the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed case and trial planning for the Wall Street Journal. Evan Perez, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Simple question, maybe a complicated answer, but why is this trial coming to New York City?
The Obama administration has been struggling with this issue ever since they stepped into office and declared that they were going to close Guantanamo within a year. Soon after, they went through the files of the detainees, and they realized there's a lot more complicated than they thought during the campaign. And so they studied this for several months, and the criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department have long felt that they could bring these cases to trial in criminal court, that they could win convictions. So in the end, what the administration decided was that they would come forward with a policy whereby they had a preference for criminal trials, and that sort of set up these series of decisions. They've set forth a policy that they're going to do criminal trials where they can, and rely secondarily on military commissions, the military tribunals that were first established under President Bush. And so this decision has sort of been months in the making, and they finally decided that they believe they have enough evidence. Some evidence that perhaps we haven't seen, and that excludes some of the more controversial waterboarding and other harsh interrogation evidence that they know they have.
So part of this is simply to clear out Guantanamo, which he's promised to close. If you did this before a military commission, they would still be there, though we're told at the same time there will be others who do go before military commissions for the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen some years back in the deaths that went along with that. Will those commissions of the others happen at Guantanamo? Do we know?
Well, the decision hasn't been announced, or it hasn't been finalized. But we're told by officials that the likely place will be inside the U.S. They want to close the prison there. If you continue to do trials there, it will lead to. We're going to talk about years, and I think it will lead to a big embarrassment for the administration. They came into office saying they were going to close the prison. They were going to use this as a way to pivot and say, you know, our relations with the rest of the world is going to change. And if they don't meet that promise, I think they know what the political implications are.
Is there a timetable for bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others to the United States, to New York, and for the onset of the trial proceedings?
The announcement Friday essentially starts the clock. 45 days is what they have to give Congress notice before they bring anybody to the United States for trial. We expect that there's going to be a new indictment, a new charges that will be filed in the federal court in New York Southern District, probably weeks out from that. So before he gets here, they'll have to charge him and the four others. And so we're looking at several weeks before he even gets to New York. And even then, we are probably months away from a trial, maybe a year, because, as you know, this is going to be complicated. There's going to be a lot of pretrial tussles between the government and any defense attorneys.
Where will Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others be held during that time?
Well, there's there's a very very there's a maximum security facility in New York where they've held high security and dangerous detainees before. As you know, there have been other very high profile trials, including for the World Trade Center bombing and the Blind Sheikh plot. So they've had a history of holding these types of detainees in New York safely.
Now, we see all the time that this is the alleged mastermind of 9/11, and we read that in some venues he's claimed that he's done it, that his colleague Sheikh Mohammed. When did he say that? Is he the self-professed mastermind of the 9/11 bombings? How did that come out?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the latter description is probably more accurate and more appropriate, frankly, because he's not at all been shy about claiming responsibility for this. He gave an interview to Al Jazeera reporters before he was captured, in which he described the process by which the plot was carried out. He's not at all. And even since arriving at Guantanamo in proceedings before a military judge, he has been very disruptive. He has rejected the assistance of any lawyers assigned by the military to defend him. He's basically said, I think his quote is, "We don't want to waste time. We want to get this over with." Essentially, and so he wants. He believes that speeding this up and just getting it over with will speed his martyrdom, as he puts it. So he wants, and I think some of the other detainees also want to be put to death as soon as possible, because they believe it's going to be a propaganda victory for their own cause.
So it's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, two alleged top aides, a nephew, an Al-Qaeda paymaster, all five. Will their trials be simultaneous or sequential?
They're expected to be tried together, the Justice Department says, and there's going to be, obviously, some of this is going to have to be litigated in court. There's going to have to be some there's some defense attorneys that, first of all, anybody who defends these guys will probably ask to separate them, will probably ask to move the trial. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of this that has to be worked out.
Still to be worked out. Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York welcomed this. He said, it's fitting that they should face justice near the World Trade Center site. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani said no, that it would cost too much for security, would create legal advantages for the defense, and would symbolically deny that the United States is at war with terrorism, I guess because it's in a civilian judicial setting instead of on a battlefield or a military commission.
Right, and you can see the division of opinion in New York, particularly. I mean, there's a lot of people who believe that this will put a big target on the city once again. Obviously, there's a lot of national security officials in the administration who point out New York has never gotten rid of the target. It's always the number one target for attack. It's believed, and so putting this trial there, they think, doesn't really change anything. The New York City Police Department, which, as you know, is one of the biggest, one of the best resourced. They have more officers than the FBI has agents. Believes that it can defend the city and protect the Lower Manhattan. It's probably going to be a huge challenge, more challenging than anything in recent years. But they point out they defend world leaders every year during the UN meetings. So they have a history of being able to do this.
Attorney General Eric Holder made pretty clear that what they're aiming for is the death penalty here. New York juries have been relatively low to do that, though 9/11 may be a one of a kind. But is it clear this will be a jury trial? Someone's going to get a jury summons and end up sitting in judgment on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
You raise a good point. I don't know that it's clear, because as we just discussed, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-plotters or alleged plotters, mm-hmm, want to die. They want to probably seek to. I mean, I think this is a guess on my part, but just judging from their behavior, I think they want an opportunity to plead guilty. There's all these questions, obviously, over their treatment. punishment. They've been held, in Guantanamo and were subjected to some harsh interrogations. But they believe that they want martyrdom and they want to be able to do it, in their own way. So, our judicial system affords them that right if they want to plead guilty. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting, is whether this ever even gets to a jury is a very open question.
And what about all that waterboarding? 183 times, we're told, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded, brought to, near drowned by U.S. interrogators. I mean, does that spoil the trial from the outset? How do they get around that?
Yeah, that's been the biggest problem, is how do you... there's a lot of problems with admissibility of any interrogation or any kind of information they gave to these detainees. The FBI sent in so-called clean teams in the last couple of years to try to re-interview some of these detainees outside without using any of those tactics. It's not clear whether Mohammed was one of the ones that they were able to get to, but so. That's one of the things that they've tried to do. But as I said, the government has evidence. For example, Mohammed's interview with Al Jazeera, mm-hmm. in which he describes it. They have other evidence they believe that they can use.
Here's President Obama in a news conference from Tokyo on Friday on the decision to bring these trials to New York City.
I'm absolutely convinced that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be subject to the most exacting demands of justice.
And here also from Friday, Attorney General Eric Holder on the type of trial Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-defendants will face in New York.
We will prosecute these cases vigorously. These were extraordinary crimes, and so we will seek maximum penalties.
Penalties. Joining me now from Concord, New Hampshire, is John Hudson, former Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Navy from 1997 to 2000, responsible for a JAG Corps of 1,600 active duty reserve officers and enlisted personnel. He's currently President and Dean of the Franklin Pierce Law Center. John Hudson, welcome back to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. It's nice to be back. Thanks.
And with us from Lubbock, Texas, Walter Huffman, former Judge Advocate General for the U.S. Army from 1997 to 2001. He oversaw an Army legal workforce of 4,000 in the U.S. and 17 other countries. Walter Huffman, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Now, I know you all know each other and are friendly, but you have a little different perspective on what's going on here and its advisability. John Hudson, let me come first to you. What do you make, as someone who's worked in the military very closely, working on justice, of bringing this into the civilian judicial system of the United States and in New York City, of all places?
Tom, I think it's exactly the right thing to do, not to disparage military justice at all, for which I have great affection and admiration, but that a couple of points I'd want to make, I guess, in this context. One is that I think of KSM and his cohorts.
KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
As criminals, not as war fighters, not as soldiers, but just as criminals. So I think that prosecuting them in U.S. District Court is the right thing to do, because that's where we prosecute criminals. I also am convinced that the U.S. District Courts have the experience in these kinds of cases that the military commission system simply has not been able to achieve successfully. And we've had 195 convictions in U.S. District Courts for terrorism cases since 9/11, and a total of three in military commissions. So I think that we've got the right forum for the right type of criminal, and I think that New York is the right location for it.
It will appear to be justice when it's considered in the venue where the biggest of these crimes happen?
Exactly. That's the American tradition. We typically try cases near where the victims and the victims' families resided. I spoke last week with several 9/11 widows, and they felt that being there in that location is the right thing to do, both symbolically and simply geographically.
Walter Huffman, in Lubbock, Texas, you've got a little different view of this. Some reservations about bringing these men here for this trial, these trials. Why?
Well, I do have reservations, Tom, and I think with all due respect to my good friend John Hudson, I think that one of the first things you have to look at is this a crime or is it terrorism? And one of the things that seems to be left out of this conversation to a certain extent is, for example, I lost a very good friend, several good friends, but one very good friend in the Pentagon mm-hmm. on this same day. And, of course, then there was Flight 93 that ended up in Pennsylvania. So this was not just an attack on New York. This was an attack on America by people who weren't out to rob a bank or just knock people out of the way. They didn't care who they killed, really, as long as they could influence the United States government to do something they wanted them to do and to intimidate America. And that's the difference between a crime and terrorism. And in my mind, it's very clear that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his cohorts are terrorists of the worst kind.
But if I may, I want to hear your second thought, of course, but if I may, I mean, terrorism is a crime. But are you saying you're sort of in the Rudy Giuliani camp? This should be an attack responded to with war, and that criminal justice instead of war is the wrong way to go?
No, I think that these terrorists are not, as I say, to be treated as criminals. I think criminals actually deserve better treatment than these people do. Mm. And when I hear the Justice Department say, well, we are going to give these terrorists the same rights as American citizens would receive if they were taken to court under our Constitution, I think to myself, why would we do that? I mean, I'm not arguing that there cannot be a conviction in New York City. In fact, I'm sure those prosecutors are outstanding prosecutors, and they may be able to obtain a conviction, especially since these people seem to want to plead guilty and martyr themselves anyway. My position is, why would we do that? Why would we spend a gazillion dollars of taxpayer money to bring these people to New York City, spend another gazillion protecting the prosecutors and their families for the rest of their lives, I would think.
Which has happened or been necessary after previous terror trials.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And also, this is really going to put a lot of pressure on our criminal justice system. There are so many things about this particular trial that just don't fit within the criminal template. I mean, the warrant requirements for arrest or for search, the speedy trial requirements, the evidentiary rules that are very important to justice in our justice system in a criminal trial of an American citizen are going to be stretched, mangled. I don't know what's exactly going to happen in terms of precedential value in this trial, but it's going to be a very difficult trial because, A, these people aren't American citizens. They were not arrested by the FBI, which many of the people that John Hudson referred to were. Mm. And it's going to be a very difficult trial from that standpoint. But the point, again, is why would we do that when we have a military justice system under the Military Commissions Act of 2006, as further modified by the Obama administration, that meets every requirement of international law for trying persons like these unlawful combatants for war crimes? We have it in place. Mm. Congress has approved it. Mm-hmm. This president has approved it. I mean, he's even said he's going to try some people under it. So other than the fact that this gives the administration some potential political win by saying, look, we're doing something to try to close Guantanamo. We haven't been able to close it, but look, we've done something here. And then, of course, if they lose for some reason or another, they can always say, well, the Bush administration made this so difficult, we just simply couldn't succeed. But other than that political consideration, and I don't mean to say that that's the only consideration here, but when I think about this, I think, why would we do this when we have a system in place that can do it just as well for a lot less money with a lot less threat to both people and to our system?
Well, there's a lot of angles to explore here, but John Hudson, let's just go to that big question first. Why? Why give these men the same rights as American citizens? Why go to the expense and hassle and all the rest? You hear Walter Huffman's question from Lubbock.
Well, my sort of quick and perhaps glib answer is 195-3. You know, that we've had 195 convictions in federal court since 9/11, and three, two of which were guilty pleas, and the guys are out of jail now in military commissions. And the other thing is that, you know, you say, well, it's going to cost a gazillion dollars to try them here, and you know, what is to say that it's not going to cost a gazillion dollars to try them in military commissions unless you're arguing that in the military commissions it's going to be sort of a second tier of justice. It's not going to be the American justice. It's going to be something a little bit different, which I think will not – if that's the case, then – that's not going to withstand domestic or international scrutiny. We need to convict Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others and other terrorists in a court system that is absolutely unassailable. And the military commissions simply are not unassailable.
I want to come back and ask you also about Walter Huffman's concern that the stretching and mangling, his words, of the law to accommodate this trial could have implications for the broader system. But if I may, we've got listeners who want to join us as well. Let's bring in Buffalo, New York. Chris, you're on the air. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I agree with your one guest. Actually, I'm outraged that they would bring someone who is not a citizen of the United States into our courts. He is not entitled to our courts. Beyond that, New York State is broke. We have no money for this. I don't care what they say about the New York City police being so well funded. We don't have the money for this. And my last question is, why does Mr. Obama want to give this man so large a stage?
Just the public sort of grandstand of this, if that's indeed what it is. Chris, let us pick those up. Let me get one more call, and we'll come to it. Carl in Nashville, Tennessee. What do you think, Carl?
Hello. Well, let me throw Mr. Obama. That's interesting. Let me throw some names out there to you. Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, the D.C. sniper, Timothy McVeigh, Mr. Nickel. The United States judicial system have unfortunately, a lot of history with dealing with monsters. I'm pretty convinced that our our judicial system are quite capable with dealing with anything that's coming in their direction and finally getting justice for the people of the United States of America and the people of New York. And on top of that, I'm about sick and tired of the Republicans and conservatives using this mythical war on terrorism as a political leverage for themselves. And I call it mythical war on terrorism because the last time I checked, we haven't dropped one bomb on the country of terrorism. Thank you. Have a good day.
Carl, thank you very much for calling. So there's two kind of polar views on this, but let me pick up the point first, John Hudson, that Chris in Buffalo raises. First, just about the stage that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed may be given here. Will this turn out to be kind of handing him a big megaphone to make his case to the world about, you know, why he wanted to bring down the World Trade Center towers and all the rest, maybe bring down the United States? Is that what we're going to see?
Well, that's going to depend largely on the judge, if how tightly the judge runs the trial, and whether or not he gives him that opportunity. But I would point out to you that at his 2007 military tribunal hearing, KSM made a 31-point written statement in which he affirmed that he was responsible for 9/11 from A to Z, and that his righteous right hand had decapitated Daniel Pearl, so that he had a forum there. The judge in a federal trial is almost certainly going to have significantly more experience in terrorism cases than a judge would have at a military commission where we've only tried a grand total of three. So that in terms of the courtroom decorum and running the trial, my bet would be on the federal judge.
Walter Huffman, what about our caller Carl in Nashville saying he's tired of putting everything in war terms? Let's get it into what perhaps he thinks is a more effective environment. Certainly John Hudson says it's more effective. You've only got three convictions by the military commissions, 190 plus in the civilian side, so why not go that way?
Well, and again, I would have to differentiate between some of the trials that have been held. The majority of the trials that have been held of so-called terrorists, the Timothy McVeigh type people, were investigated by civilian law enforcement agencies using the constitutional safeguards that are required to be used by our federal law enforcement offices. And so those trials correctly ended up in federal courts and were tried. Mm-hmm. And these were, you know, U.S. citizens and all of that goes. But none of these, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his cohorts, don't meet any of those criteria. They were arrested in Pakistan by the Pakistani intelligence services, probably with the assistance of the CIA. And that brings up another point, that the Military Commissions Act of 2006, again, approved by Congress, approved by President Obama, President Bush, everyone's approved it as it now exists. Now, I'll have to say one of the things that concerns me greatly about this Justice Department intervention, and here again I'm talking about Maine Justice, not the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York or the Eastern District of Virginia, but we got into this situation because Maine Justice, under the Bush administration, involved itself in the military commissions issues in 2001. It was a terribly constructed system, as John Hudson well remembers. The military lawyers in the Pentagon stood up and said, this won't work, it's unconstitutional. Hmm. We're told to go back to their offices, and we'll call you if we need you. And by the time the Supreme Court, 6 years later, got through telling everyone that what the Judge Advocates General had said was correct under the Constitution, we finally did end up with a Military Commissions Act, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, that will work. And these folks have already been charged. They've already been arraigned. They would have been tried already had the current administration not intervened again, and again, Maine Justice, and said, stop while we think about this. And now we've thought about it, and now we're going to move these folks to New York. I'm a little concerned whenever Maine Justice decides that this is a great idea, because everything that they've had so far that's been a good idea under both the Bush administration and the Obama administration has worked out very poorly so far.
Maine Justice, as in the Justice Department in Washington. John Hudson, we just got half a minute before the break, but Chris in Buffalo also saying, you know, these are not citizens. Why give them this? New York's broke. And you hear Walter Huffman saying, well, the military commission system has been fixed, so let's use it.
Well, this is going to cost the United States a lot of money, no matter what we do. I mean, other than not trying them at all, the money is going to be spent one way or another. And I think that the rights follow the court. And if the implication is that we try them in a military commission where we don't spend a lot of money and we don't give them a lot of rights, I've got problems with that.
Here's former New York City Mayor and Republican presidential candidate Rudolph Giuliani on Fox News Sunday on the KSM trial headed for New York.
We are doing what he wants us to do.
Mayor?
He is asking for a trial in New York, and we're giving it to him. Since when are we in the business of granting the wishes of terrorists?
Rudy Giuliani, we're joined this hour by Walter Huffman. He's dean at the Texas Tech School of Law, joins us from Lubbock, Texas. He was former Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Army from 97 to 01. From Concord, New Hampshire, we're joined by John Hudson. He's former Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Navy from 97 to 2000, now president and dean of Franklin Pierce Law Center. And John, Walter, here's just a couple of examples from our listeners. This is from Facebook. Kate writes, It makes no difference if it is a fair trial. No Muslim will think that it is. It looks like Americans bringing a Muslim to the scene of the crime to exact vengeance. This trial will almost dare the extremists to try another attack. There's one view. But here's another from Mansour Ali. He says, is our justice system so flawed that we're afraid to try them in our courts? We boast around the world about it, and rightly so, and urge them to follow in our footsteps. And when it comes to the court systems, this is the best example of showing the world that we are the beacon of justice in this world. Let me get a call right here from Nashville, Tennessee. Jerry. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hello, hello, man. I agree with the young lady from Buffalo. I just think this is completely outrageous. We have never done this, I believe, in the 236 years of our country that we have took people like this and are going to grant them the rights of citizens. I mean, during World War II, when there were eight saboteurs, German saboteurs, that were apprehended by the FBI. On June 27th, they had their trial, and it was a military commission by seven generals under Major General Frank McCoy, and the trial lasted several weeks. They had to have a special session of the Supreme Court to see if they had the authority, and the Supreme Court said they did. The trial ended on August 3rd. The President Roosevelt, he approved it, and they were executed on the 8th. Six were executed, one in prison for life, and one for 30 years.
6 weeks.
Four days, that's all it took.
Yeah, we've got it. Jerry, let me put that to John Hudson. What about precedent here? John, there's the World War II example of German, U-boat crew cited when they were caught on American shores. And what about giving non-citizens, this comes up several times here, non-citizens the full rights or something like it of the American judiciary?
Well, a couple of things. There are other precedents in World War II, in turning Japanese citizens that we wouldn't like. So that I'm not sure going back 60 years is terribly helpful. And the caller is absolutely right. And we have used military commissions in the past. Major Andre, the Benedict Arnold co-conspirator, was tried by military commission. The Lincoln assassination conspirators were high. Tried by military commissions, but that doesn't particularly move me one way or the other.
I mean, non-citizens are afforded U.S. rights for crimes in this country all the time, are they not?
Sure, of course they are. The rights are going to the court. It's the court, it's the Constitution that governs the court, and if you're going to try them. I think it's necessary for the United States as part of our tradition to provide these rights. Now, Common Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions, if you don't want to use the Constitution, Common Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions require that a court be regularly constituted and providing all the rights considered to be indispensable by all civilized people. The presumption of innocence to be represented, confront witnesses and evidence, present a defense, impartial fact finder, all of those kinds of things. So that the question isn't so much to me the rights that are provided. Mm. We've got to provide these rights. The question is which forum is going to provide the rights? And if it is that we're not going to provide the rights, then we ought to just not try them. I mean, we're giving the court will give kangaroos a bad name. We need to provide these rights to people for the court to have any kind of respectability.
Walter Huffman says the military commission system has been fixed and it could now do it. The numbers you present are compelling. Only three convictions in all that time versus 190 some. But he says it's better now, so let's do it there.
The problem for me with that is that the United States, U.S. federal court system, U.S. district courts, are generally regarded as the best, fairest courts in the world. And we ought to be shouting that from the rooftops. We ought to be demonstrating to the entire world that as awful as these people are, the United States is big enough and strong enough and courageous enough to try them in our own court system. The military commissions have been dramatically improved just recently, and there's no question about that. But they've been on the books for many years now, and have not been able to succeed. And you're going to end up with prosecutors and judges and defense counsel who have never, ever done this before. And I don't want to see Khalid Sheikh Mohammed prosecuted by some guy who's never been in a military commission before and have some judge who's never tried a military commission case, or maybe just one or two.
Walter Huffman in Texas, could this trial not be proof of the qualities of U.S. justice? Or is the background, as you've referred to several times, so flawed that it can't serve that function at this point with waterboarding and everything else already in the record?
I just don't understand how they're going to be able to accommodate this trial within our current framework of our criminal justice system without doing some damage to our criminal justice system. And I, again, would ask the question, why are we doing this? Now, John says we want to impress the world with the quality of U.S. justice. I don't think we've done too good a job of impressing the Islamic fundamentalists who are so radical that they believe that America is the great Satan. What kind of court we provide for these folks isn't going to make any difference to them. And
are you suggesting just take them out and shoot them then? I mean, that's...
No. Well, but I say again, we have a military commission system that's set up to try these people who have committed war crimes. And so why not use it? And the military commission system as set up meets all the criteria set out in Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. It did not originally in 2001, but it does now. And I fully believe that we have the quality of prosecutors in the military who can bring this case to a successful fruition. And without providing, first of all, an opportunity for these self-styled martyrs to present themselves to the world as great recruiters for more terrorists. And secondly, one thing we haven't touched on, if I could just briefly, that concerns me a lot about this is the threat to our national security by holding these trials in our justice system as it is currently arranged.
Isn't that there anyway all the time, we're told?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that threat there anyway all the time?
No. I'm talking about when we're talking about how we're going to prove these cases.
I see.
And the answer is, well, we have methods and sources of intelligence that prove these cases, but we will have to reveal those methods and sources of intelligence collection to be able to obtain this conviction. And that is something that is accommodated in the Military Commissions Act of 2006. It is not so clearly accommodated in the discovery rules of our criminal justice system. And so how far are we going to let these defense attorneys who will, and if I were a defense attorney, I would certainly be delving into this to force the United States to say, we're either not going to produce that evidence and therefore your man is free to go, or we're going to produce that evidence, and in that case, it is going to really damage, I fear, our intelligence gathering techniques. And again, the Military Commissions Act is set up to accommodate these kinds of concerns. Our criminal justice system is not.
I'll put that to John Hudson. Let me get a call or two here first. Mark in Acton, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi. The best response to Dean Huffman and to Rudy Giuliani is that the reason to try these people in New York is that we are exactly what we say we are. We're a nation of law. Now, those aren't my words. That's a quote from Mayor Giuliani back in 2006, and he was talking about the conviction of Zacharias Moussaoui, who was convicted in a federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, about 4.5 miles from the Pentagon that he was convicted of trying to blow up. Now, what has changed? Well, what has changed is that instead of having a Republican in the White House, we now have a Democrat. And I think what you're hearing from these critics is not a fear that KSM will be acquitted, but rather that he will be convicted, and that he'll be convicted without the use of any evidence obtained through torture. And that will give the lie once and for all to their protestations that we need to break our own laws to torture people in order to protect ourselves.
So a kind of argument, a kind of major argument to defend an avenue. John Hudson, let me put, there's a lot on the table here. You hear our caller Mark's interesting point. Then there's the issue of methods and sources that could be revealed. And I guess Mark would like for some of those methods not to be used, perhaps. And then there's the question of, if we bring this trial into the civilian system, will we do damage to it by the precedents that are produced in stretching and mangling, as Walter Huffman describes it, that might be necessary for these trials to proceed?
Well, let me take as many of those as I can recall. First of all, as Mark says, we can't be afraid of our own laws. We can't be afraid of our own Constitution. I'm not concerned particularly about revealing methods and sources. As I've said on a number of occasions here today, we've tried lots of these cases, and lots of them have had classified information and methods and sources. But there's a federal law, the Classified Information Procedures Act, that is very generous in availing to courts the opportunity to massage the evidence in such a way as to protect those methods and sources, from putting hoods on witnesses to summarizing evidence to all sorts of things that will still ensure a fair trial and protect those very critical. And I don't diminish the concern.
In 1995, in the prosecution of Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman in the first World Trade Center attack, I mean, I've read that Osama bin Laden watched that, or got the record of it, learned that he was considered a co-conspirator, and took off from Sudan, where he might have been vulnerable, to Afghanistan, where he was more protected. I mean, as an example of the kind of compromises that could emerge, I guess.
If that's the case, that's not to say that mistakes aren't going to be made. And that may, I don't know. I've read that, but I don't know that that's true. But say for the sake of the discussion that it is. That's not to say mistakes aren't going to be made. But what's the alternative? That you're going to tell some guy in a military commission, and this isn't going to happen, I would hope, but you're going to essentially say, we've got a guy, we can't tell you who's told us something, we can't tell you what, but causes us to know that you're guilty, we can't tell you why.
And you're going to die.
And you're going to die, yeah. And so, we simply can't do that. That's not to say mistakes aren't going to be made in utilizing SEPA, but it's there, and mistakes could be made in a military commission just as well.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. What about the risk of damage to the civilian judicial system? The phrase Walter Huffman, compelling phrase, stretched and mangled. That there's torture and everything else in this ugly bag. If we pull this into our court system, might it set precedents that would end up in the future harming U.S. citizens at trial? They could point back to this trial and say, "Well, we did it there."
I think we have to be very, very careful about that to ensure that that doesn't happen. But the way that that won't happen is by enforcing our own laws and our own rules. You can't say that we'll stretch it and mangle it in the federal court system, but it's not going to be a problem in the military commission system, because all that stuff will just come in and it won't apply to anybody else. That would be I think that would be a very dangerous precedent.
There's a political context that's unavoidable here. If somehow Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was acquitted, or the trial, I don't know, he was, as you put it, free to go, what happens then? Could he just walk out of that courtroom? Couldn't, what does that say about American justice?
Well, 2 points. One is that you cannot set up a system of justice in which a conviction is absolutely guaranteed. Because if a conviction is absolutely guaranteed, it's not a system of justice. It's something else. It's a charade. It's pretend. So that you have to, hard as it is to say, you have to run the risk of an acquittal. We've had a 92% conviction rate across the country. The New York prosecutors have a 94% conviction rate, and 100% for domestic cases where the victims were U.S. citizens. So the risk may not be great, but you have to run that risk to some extent. And I've forgotten the second point.
Well, that's all right. Gene, we've got a Facebook comment here from Walter from Jean Arsenal. She says, "How do you sentence someone who, in his mind, will succeed with a death sentence? But that would be martyrdom for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. What about that, Dean Hoffman?
I think, am I coming through to you?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. My earphones are not responding correctly right now, but that, I think, is part of the problem with bringing this trial to New York City, and that is this person and his co-conspirators have stated that they want to martyr themselves. And so the only possible value that we get out of bringing them to New York is to give them a world stage in the media center of the universe to martyr themselves. And while incarcerated, to continue to try to attract people to their point of view. I just, again, to me, it's not that we cannot convict them in New York. I suspect the outstanding prosecutors in New York can convict these folks. And, of course, if they plead guilty, I'd say they'd almost certainly convict them. But why would we give them that stage when that's not what we seek? If I could, on one other point, though, I'd like to say that...
Just half a second here.
The torture issue is really something that doesn't work because torture is not admissible in military. Torture...
We'll have to come back to that on another day, Dean Hoffman. Thank you for being with us, and John Hudson as well. More on this. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.